Now we are going to hear from God. We call Father Isaac Muyonga to come on the pulpit, and he will pray for the message.
Father, it's time to listen to your word, and we want to hear your voice through the word we are going to read and share together. Father, you know our needs, and you are going to help and talk to us this time. Glory to your name. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of this sharing of the word. The word of God is coming from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. We are going to read verse 11 until 16. Exodus 30, 11 until 16. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take a census for the sons of Israel to number them, then each one of them shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, so that there will be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone who is numbered shall give: half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, half a shekel is a contribution to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered from 20 years old and over shall give the contribution to the Lord. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than the half shekel. When you give the contribution to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, you shall take the atonement money from the sons of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the sons of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves." That is the word of God today. And as you know, we are continuing to talk about the general theme, which is the more spectacular the restoration is, the huge is the mission. The more spectacular the restoration is, the huge is the mission. And given that the mission is huge, today, as you listen to the pastor, we are called people for financial commitment the whole year. And the topic today is the believer's financial commitment to reach this mission, the huge mission. The CBCA this month of March is thinking about mission. The whole month is dedicated for mission. Our church works with other churches in Asia, Europe, Africa, in what we call United Evangelical Mission. We come together to preach the word of God in word and action. So we are united with other churches for evangelical mission in those three continents I talked about. So this month, the CBCA is mobilizing the member to give. To give at least $1. At least $1. The member of the CBCA today are about 480,000. So we are 480,000. And this month of March, if every person gives at least $1, that is to say at the end of March, we will be able to gather at least $408,000. I don't know whether you believe that it's possible to gather $408,000 for 1 month. Because what the CBCA is doing is calling people to give at least one. You may give more, but give at least $1. And at the end of March, it is possible to gather $408,000. So today we are preparing members of Gomaville for this huge and great mission. Not only this month of March, but also the whole year, we will be waiting for your contribution because the mission is great. Now let us come back on our text. When you read Exodus chapter 30, and you start from the beginning of the chapter, from verse 1 to 10, the Lord is giving instructions to Moses to make the altar for the burning incense. If you start with verse 1, the altar was made out of acacia wood, and Moses was asked to cover its top and all the four sides of the altar with pure gold. So Moses was supposed to put this altar in the tent. And every day, I say every day, Aaron was asked to go in the tent to prepare the lamps, to be ready and burn the smelling incense. And that was the work of Aaron every day. He was asked to do it every morning for the whole day, every evening, for the whole night. Aaron with his children. So the incense was burned every day, every week, every month, every year. And that is a great work which needs the contributions of the members of the community of Israel, because it was a very hard work. So to get money, every member of the community must contribute, must give something. And you cannot get money if you do not know the number of the member of your community. So if you want to plan, then you are asked to count the member of the community. So Aaron was asked for a census, which will help him to know, to count, to know the number. Then he can plan financially. What is a census? I think in every country, the census is clearly written in the constitution. The government counts people, one by one, citizen. And usually that includes social and economic information. Because after census, then the country can make important decisions. And among those decisions, you will find also economic and financial decision. So Aaron was supposed to count the member of the community and collect money so that the money may be used for the work which is done in the tent. When you read the Bible, you find two kind of census. There is bad census and good census. If you read in the book of 2 Samuel 24, you find David calling for a census. But unfortunately, it was a bad census because he did it only for boasting. He wanted to count people that he may know only the number. So Aaron did it just for boasting. You can find the same text in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 and 6. And the Bible says that David was moved by Satan to make a census. And the result was boasting. He knows the number. The purpose was for military actions. And when you read the text, you find that even Joab, the commander of the troop, was opposed to David because what he is supposed to do was a bad census, and the Lord was angry. Because of that census, the Bible says that 70,000 men of Israel died. That is a bad census, which is done just for boasting, just for saying, okay, I want to know the number of my community, and then I can boast for that. Taking a census for the people of Israel was dangerous. We learn from this story of David that counting people can be a temptation because of the purpose of what you are doing. David counted the people for military purpose. After counting them, then he can say, okay, I can count on these people. I may not count on God because I know the number of the member of the community. So it is a temptation for Israel to know the number of the community because they can glorify the number. They can glorify people. They can glorify military forces instead of counting on God himself. So to count the population, you must hear for the voice of God and understand what he is looking for. That's why when I say that at the beginning of this sermon that the member of the CBCA is 480,000 people. And that is possible to gather at the end of this month, $480,000. You see how we can boast because of that number and forget that we must rely on God. And unfortunately, that's the temptation of churches today. If you tell people that you are just 100, people will say, which kind of church you are leading? Only 100. And if you say that Gomaville is around 1,000, for others, this is not a strong church. They need something of 3,000, 5,000, 10,000. Then they can say this is a strong church. You see how it is a temptation. So counting for Israel was dangerous. They should wait for the word of God to conduct the census. Who is qualified to conduct a census? Only God. is qualified. The text of Exodus chapter 30 we have read is among other texts you can find in the Bible, such as Numbers chapter 1 and Numbers chapter 6. In these chapters, you find good sources. People are allowed by God to number, to count the people. Why? Because Israel belonged to God. When you read Exodus chapter 4, you find God telling Moses that Israel is my firstborn. So God finds himself in a family relation with Israel, where men and women of Israel belong to God himself. So you cannot come in the family of someone and start counting his children without waiting for his permission. You cannot come in my house and count my children without my permission. So if you want to count the people of God, who are called the firstborn of God, you must wait for the permission of the owner of the people. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we find at the end of the verse, Paul saying, "You are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God." And when you read Psalm 95, verse 7, the Bible says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We are the flock, and he is the shepherd." Then if we are the flock, and the Lord is the shepherd, who can count the sheep? Can you come in the pasture of somebody and start counting the sheep without getting the permission of the owner? It is not possible. So if we are the flock of God and he is the shepherd, that is to say, if you want to know the number of the people for economic reasons and maybe for other reasons, you have to wait for the permission of God. People of God, in this church, Gomaville, we don't know the number of those who belong to God. We can know only, we can count those who are registered. But those who belong to the Holy Church, we don't know them. It is only God who can come in Gomaville and say, "You are 1,000, but those who belong to my community is just 500. Because it is only God who knows the sheep. We belong to him. We are his flock, and he is the shepherd. So if today you are counted by God, and God can put you at the list of those who belong to his kingdom, that is to say, God knows you and needs you for his work. Are you sure that you are counted or you are registered as a member of Gomaville? There is difference between those who are counted by God to belong to his community and those who are registered as member of a local church. So when you read Exodus chapter 30, Aaron is asked to count on behalf of God so that the number of those who belong to the community must be known. And they are asked to contribute to the huge work which is going on in the tent. The work in the tent is huge and needs your contribution. When you read in Exodus, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, Command the people of Israel to bring you the best olive oil for the lamp, so that it can be lit each evening. 21. Aaron and his sons are to set up the lamp in the tent of my presence outside the curtain, which is in front of the covenant box. There in my presence, it is to burn from evening until morning. This command is to be kept forever by the Israelites and their descendants. And the Bible continues in Leviticus chapter 6 that the fire on the altar must be kept burning and never allowed to go out. Every morning, every evening, the priest was to put firewood on it, arrange the burnt offering on it, so that the whole day and all night long, the fire is kept burning. That is a huge mission. That is hard work, which calls for the contribution of the community. And that community is those who are counted, counted by God, who are known by God himself, who belong to the community of the saints. Those who are counted are also asked to contribute for the work which Aaron and his son are doing in the church. That's why when we read verse 13 in Exodus 30, the Bible says, everyone who is numbered shall give. Everyone who is numbered shall give half a shekel. Offering is for those who are numbered, those who are counted, those who are known, those who belong to the kingdom. Offering is not for those who are not numbered or counted. So ask yourselves, am I known? Am I counted? Am I counted among those who belong to the kingdom of God? Everyone who is numbered shall give half a shekel. If you are counted by God among those who belong to his people in the church, then remember the work of the church, which pastors are doing every day, day and night, without stopping, without interruption. This year, 2024, the church will wait for your contribution. Because you are counted. The church will not wait for the contribution of those who are now counted, who are not numbered. And when you read verse 15, the Bible says, the rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than the half of shekel. So we are waiting for the contribution of the rich and the poor. But why? Why rich and poor should contribute? And they give here, according to the text we have read, they give the same amount. It is because we received the same grace from God. So there is no other who received more than others. So we received the same grace from God. This money which is given here is not for the forgiveness of their sin. It is a ransom for their life. So our life was saved by the same grace. So we have the same value before God. So rich and poor counted as members of the congregation, they have to bring their contribution. The Bible says in Peter 1 and 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with gold and silver. And the Bible continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that we were bought. We were not bought by gold and silver, but we were bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. For the rich and the poor, for people from different social status. So don't forget that we received the same grace and we have the same value before God. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 3, 26, that for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And that is to say that we have the same rights, same duties, equal in the eyes of God, equal payment, equal respect, equal status. And this should be emphasized this month of March, in which we are celebrating women who are created in the image of God. We are equal before God, same status, same payment, same value. We are counted a member of the kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, as we participate in our nation's economic system by paying taxes as citizens in our different countries, let us also be loyal citizens in the kingdom of God by giving offering, by being ready to give for that work which is being done in the church, so that the fire of evangelism, the fire of prayer, the fire of diaconia is kept burning in this church every day. You are not different from Jesus himself when we read Matthew chapter 17. And we start with verse 24 to 27. We find Jesus Christ himself paying this tax. He was the Son of God. He could say to the tax collector that I'm the Son of God, I'm not going to pay it. But the Bible says that instead, he paid. Because he knew that the money is collected to worship God. So, brothers and sisters, Christians are to be examples of obedience to this law. As we are obedient to the law of the country, we are also asked to be obedient to the contribution of the work which is being done in the church. Pastors, Aaron and the sons of Aaron are working hard every day to keep the fire burning every day. So I think you are counted and you are a member of the kingdom. And if the response is yes, that is to say the church is waiting for half shekel from you, rich and poor, we are waiting. Amen.